beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This worldwide Christian broadcast is brought to you by www.churchofchristpreaching.com. With the evangelist on the other side of the Abel Springs Church of Christ, County Road 338, Abel Springs, Texas, 75161, USA, the little church in the country. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to this community, then to all the world and helping the poor. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, just plain old Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station and by our website at www.churchcraftpreaching.com. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ in your community and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchcraftpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ our Lord. At home, you can sing praises to God, listen to us for preaching and teaching, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessing for the poor in your local community anywhere in the world. Come to www.churchcraftpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, links, and hundreds of videos on our YouTube channel. Thousands of audio sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons, and thousands of links for your church library. Please let a friend know about our broadcast time and website. That is www.churchcraftpreaching.com.
I'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We're an inner city congregation, all volunteers dedicated to preaching the gospel to the poor and feeding the poor and preaching the gospel to all the world, too. We have studied the book of Genesis and we finished that. Now we're beginning the book of Exodus and we've gone through the date of the Exodus. We've established that as the early date based on 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. That it was 480 years prior to Solomon's fourth year, that he began to build a temple. We know that that was 967 B.C., and 480 years is 1447 B.C. We just studied Ramesses, how that's a Scribal editorial update, that Ramesses won't even be born for 200 years after the Exodus, and that the original name of the town was Arvas. And we studied the birth of baby Moses and the miracle of how he was saved from the river, probably by Hatshepsut, the Pharaoh's daughter. And then Moses kills an Egyptian, maybe Senemut, who was Hatshepsut's lover, and he has to flee. And so Moses spends 40 years thinking he's really somebody. He spends 40 years thinking he's a nobody to get to a point that God could use him. We're told in Hebrews and in Acts by Stephen at his account in the New Testament that Moses could have inherited the throne outright, but he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Rather, he chose to suffer with the people of God. And Moses was called at the burning bush, and God said, "I am that I am." And Jesus, seven times in the New Testament, claims to be that God who met Moses at the burning bush. And Moses confronts Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And all the plagues that were brought against Egypt were brought against the false gods of Egypt. They worshiped the Nile, and so God chose had the Nile run with blood. And they worshiped Heket, the frog-headed goddess of fertility. That was a naked woman with a frog's head, and God showed that Heket couldn't even control the fertility of frogs, much less the fertility of people. And God says that he would execute judgment on all the gods of Egypt, and the last one was the plague of the firstborn. and which was just a shadow of the Passover and the Lord's Supper. And so we see that the Exodus begins, and that 600,000, and that word thousand there can also be counted as chiefs or commander. Or there are 10 different words that I gave you, scholarly words, that can be counted as. And so it doesn't mean that there were 600,000, and the word men there is fighting men. They're numbering the number of fighting men that Moses had. And so he really had about 6,000 fighting men. We saw the parting of the Red Sea and how Pharaoh's 600 chariots were drowned in the Red Sea. We began to study the Ten Commandments and the greatest command, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul, and all thy might, and thy neighbors thyself." And then we studied the Shema Yisrael. We're happy to announce that we are on exclusively now at 770 AM radio at North Texas. It's going out at 11 o'clock in the morning and 10 o'clock in the evening. We're also in Abilene, and we have 22 international radio broadcasts. If you'll open your Bible, I'll catch your mind up with where we were last week. We'd encourage you, those of you in our radio audience, to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The new covenant that we studied last week from Jeremiah 31:31 following, that God was going to make a new covenant, we're going to find is a covenant of promise that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 3. The Ten Commandments, the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." Elohim Asherim means no strange God. Exodus 20 verse 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is heaven above and in the earth beneath and in the water under the earth." So you're not to make any graven images at all, and you're not to bow yourself down to them. 40 years later, when the children of Israel were going into the promised land, Moses reminded them in Deuteronomy 4:15, "Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you at Horeb at Mount Sinai," when God spoke to the people directly. They didn't see a golden calf. They didn't see Balaam's. They didn't see Asherim. They didn't see any of that stuff. Exodus 20 verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them or serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Notice justice carries on to the third and fourth generation. If you curse in front of your children, they're going to curse. If you drink in front of them, they're going to drink. "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Shakespeare deals with this in The Merchant of Venice. It's really against Jews. And he's talking to Jews here. "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth from heaven as a gentle rain. Upon the place beneath, 'tis twice blessed. It blesses him that gives and him it takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throne monarch better than his crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power. A king on earth can have you put to death. The attribute to awe and majesty. God commanded it in the beginning. Wherefore doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is attribute to God himself. And earthly power doth then show likest God's. When mercy seasons justice. Therefore, Jew, though justice be thy plea," the Ten Commandments. They say, "Oh, we got the Ten Commandments." "Though for Jew, though justice be thy plea, consider this, that in the course of justice, none of us should see salvation. We do pray for mercy." Amen. Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." The third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The fourth commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." This was given to the Jews only. It's not given to us as Gentiles. We are commanded in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, in the New Testament, It says, upon the first day of the week, Sunday, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, the purpose of coming together was to take the Lord's Supper. Exodus 20, verse 9, 6 days shall I labor and do all thy works. The fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Fornication is included in that also. Thou shalt not steal, the eighth commandment. The ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. In the New Testament, Galatians 3:13, we see that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Nobody can keep those Ten Commandments perfectly. It is a curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And of course, Christ was crucified on a tree. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're taught, and for he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, he was perfectly innocent, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All the righteousness that God ever achieved on earth was wrought by Jesus Christ and is found only in him. It has been admitted by all of those that ever studied the subject that all the righteousness that can save a soul is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thus, no man can be saved outside of Christ. The faith that saves in any absolute sense is the faith of Christ. In fact, dogmatically affirmed no less than 7 times in the Greek New Testament. It was not faith only of Jesus, but the perfect faith. Perfect faith and obedience of the Son of God that wrought true righteousness, which is the foundation of all human salvation that's found in him. In Colossians 2:14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Blotting out is a reference to the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue, the entire law of Moses. The handwriting of ordinances in this verse signifies that the tables of stone God inscribed with his own hand. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us and contrary to us. He took it out of the way. He canceled it. He nailed it to the cross. These terms indicate the absolute doing away with the law of Moses. The moral precepts of the law of Moses are the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Saturday, Sabbatarians who worship on the seventh day make two profound mistakes. They misunderstand the Sabbath day as a commandment, but it was given only to Israel and to the Jews. It wasn't given to Gentiles. And their insistence that the moral portion of the law of Moses is still in effect, there's nothing that could be more emphatic in the New Testament than a declaration that the law, every bit of it, was nailed to the cross. It has been changed, abrogated, invalidated, and taken away and nailed to this cross. Romans 3:19, we're going to understand this verse from the bottom up. Look at Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith. Now I want you to notice what Paul, an inspired definition of what the law includes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it says to them that are under the law, the Jews, that every mouth may be stopped. Every legalist should be stopped bragging about how holy they are. Every mouth should be stopped. And all the world might become guilty before God. God would have us say, have mercy upon us, God, the sinner. Let's go back to verse 10 and see what he's talking about. As it is written in Psalms 14, Paul says that's part of the law. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way, and they are together become unprofitable. You added all the men up together, and all their goodness together, it's unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. From Psalms 5:9, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their lips. Psalms 10:7, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. From Isaiah 59:7-8, destruction and misery in their ways, and a way of peace they have not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes, from Psalms 36:1. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, both the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, but here Paul included the Psalms and the prophets also, has passed away. Now we know that whatsoever things that the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world might become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, counted as righteous, in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Every mouth might be stopped. Paul was determined to convict the total race of Adam. These are devastating charges that are brought against all people. It means not merely the Torah or the Pentateuch, but also the Psalms and the Prophets are a guide, a shadow to bring us to what is truth, and the truth is the New Testament. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, had I not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The perverseness of human nature, all of us, is such that the mere prohibition of the act suggests a desire in our hearts to do it. It's exactly this fact regarding sin that Paul uses here as an example in his own experience. Before the giving of the law of Moses, there were doubtlessly many people who desired their neighbor's ox, his ass, and his wife. But that the time of the violation was not known to be against God's will. The inward desire of forbidden things never being prohibited prior to the law of Moses. Paul here states that the very sin that he would never had known it except the law of Moses told him, thou shalt not covet. All the Ten Commandments except the Jewish Sabbath are re-legislated in the New Testament. Everything that's in those Ten Commandments are re-legislated in the New Testament. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, thousands. There's all kinds of written lessons. You can take a jump file in the countries you're not free and just download every written lesson with one click of the mouse. We encourage you to assemble. Tune in, same time, same station next week. Assemble in your home. Have a church in your home. You people in Africa and all of you in the Middle East and in China, have a church in your own home. Invite your family over. Sing, preach, pray, take the Lord's Supper and give. That's what makes up worship. Open your Bibles with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. That's www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Y'all know what that means. That's talking about having sex and not being married. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, anybody that bows down or makes idols or graven images. Nor adulterers, that means you're married to somebody and you're sleeping with somebody else. Nor the effeminate, the homosexual who plays the woman's part. Nor the abusers of themselves with mankind, the homosexual that plays the man's part. Nor thieves, including bank robbers, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, and that word is lodoros, abusive, a backbiting guard of mischief. Somebody who's up to no good, a backbiting, dirty, rotten wolf in sheep's clothing in here among us. Nor extortioners, harpax, that means ravings, shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you practice any of those things right there, you're going to have to march yourself down here if you do it in public and repent. If you did it in private, you're going to have to pray to God and pour your heart out and really change from that if you want to be saved. You cannot do those things and inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says very plainly now, look here in verse 10, shall inherit the kingdom of God, verse 11. And such were some of you, some of those people in Corinth, and some of you out here in Main Street. In fact, most of you. But you were washed, apoluo, to wash fully, to remit. That means you've had your sins washed away. And now I ask Paul, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, hagidizo, to set apart as holy, to purify and to consecrate. When a person is washed and made holy and made clean, they're then sanctified, set apart as holy unto God. And so, if you sin, you're going to dirty your robe. You're going to soil your robe. And so you're now set apart and consecrated to God. But you're justified. That means it's counted as if righteous. You're not righteous. You're just a rotten sinner like me. But you're counted as if you were righteous because of the perfect righteousness that's in Jesus Christ. How do you get into Christ? Well, as many of you have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Just like here around Main Street, a vast proportion of the whole Corinthian population participated in such sins that are characterized here. The prevalence of such wickedness throughout the ancient empire resulted in Rome's total destruction. After these debaucheries had run their course. But there's the destruction of the empire Paul didn't have in mind here. It was a loss of souls. You'll lose your souls if you do that. The various actions mentioned by people in this paragraph designated as unrighteous. The people who continue such wickedness, Paul says very plainly, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Very plain. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and following. Go read it again. Now another list, just exactly like it, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. I encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, that's prostitution, unwedded stimulation or fulfillment of any sexual desire in any manner whatsoever. Uncleanliness, talking about impurity, sexual impurity, physical or moral. Lasciviousness, that's filthy wantonness. Idolatry, that's image worship. Witchcraft, the use of drugs, potions, enchantments, and the occult. Hatred, eka thrash. Hostility, looking for a reason to be in opposition against your brother when you know he's doing God's will. Variance, that's quarreling, wrangling, contentiousness in the church. Emulations is jealousy and malice or indignation within the church. Wrath is fierceness or indignation. Strife is intrigue and factions. Seditions, it's disillusion, divisions. Heresies is denominations. Envyings, ill will or jealousy. Murders, slaughter of all kind. Drunkenness, you know what that is. You know, you've had them tall boys and that MD 2020. Listen, the Bible tells you very plainly, no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. So if you have a problem drinking, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to start making some progress. You need to quit drinking during the day first. Make some progress. Swear off of it and say, I will not have one drink of alcohol during the day. If you start there, you won't be a drunkard. You'll just be a drunkard at night. You won't be a drunkard 24 hours a day. But some of you who are alcoholics can't have one beer, I'm telling you now. One is too many and 10,000 ain't enough. And it's the same way with cocaine and all that stuff. Drunkenness, revelings, a carousal and rioting, and such a like, which I told you, as I've told you in times past, that those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that sound like once saved, always saved? It says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There are 17 evils here listed by Paul, and they're characteristic of all kinds of influences likely to affect the people in Galatia and you who are right here at Main Street, who are recently converted from paganism. Any thoughtful person could they look at this list of sins and perversions and gross wickedness so as to be characteristic of Main Street, ever Main Street in America today, and see our current wicked culture. Not only must we not break these commandments literally, but our attitudes are harder considered. Look at Ephesians 4:28. This is something that I try to practice. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands the things that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. This should make us cry out to God for mercy. All of these rules that we so easily break ought to make us cry out to God, just like Paul did in Romans 7, verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am! The cry of every unsaved person on earth ought to be singing that right now this morning. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from a body of this death? Well, there's an answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We're constantly tempted. Every day is a crossroad. If you're geared for that pornography, there's going to be naked women or naked cute fat boys everywhere. Whatever you're geared for, the devil is going to put it in your face and he's going to try to get you to go for it. And so every day is a crossroad. If you want to be saved, you got to start practicing the things that will make you saved. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That clause here stands as the answer to the agonizing question first asked when Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, turn with me now to Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 8. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, all kinds of written lessons to be downloaded one click of your mouse. We'd encourage you to tune in same time, same station next week. Those of you who listen and during the week, our daily broadcast, we're on same time, same station tomorrow. We have 3 daily broadcasts going out to all the world now, every day. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. That's www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Yes, the New Testament reiterates a lot of the law of Moses. Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another is fulfilled the law. Of course, that's what Jesus told us, right? For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what Jesus said in the Shema that the Jews dropped. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is a fulfillment of the law. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You don't have to commit adultery and fornicate. I have been weak for women all my life. When my wife died, I don't let women in my house. I don't open the door for women I am not going to tempt myself above what I can bear. I'm telling you, you must get your sins under control. You have the opportunity, and God will give you the strength. If you be honest and you tell Him, God, save me from myself, He will save you, but you've got to do your part. You've got to stop looking at that pornography. You've got to stop looking at women. You've got to stop looking at boys. You've got to stop drinking. You've got to make some progress. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And keep His commandments down here in 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. You can do it. For whosoever is born to God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It is the faith of Christ which leads to faithfulness and obedience that saves. It is objective faith. It begins with subjective faith and belief in your own heart. But it must be objective faith. It must be the faith of Christ, meaning the entire corpus of the New Testament. From Matthew to Revelation, everything that is taught in there is the faith, all of New Testament Christianity. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is a message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, if we live in sin, and we say that we are Christians and have fellowship with God, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, if we live as Christians, with one, preferring one another, preferring to be in the house of God instead of a honky-tonk, preferring to be with other Christians instead of at the bar or under the bridge and at the dope house. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. See that word cleanseth? It's a continuous action verb. It's going on every minute of every day if you're a Christian. Now, it doesn't work when you commit adultery and you do those things that I read to you. Doesn't work. But let's say that you just become a Christian and you're a new Christian and you've been cussing all your life. And you go out here and you stump your toe and you say a bad word. Start telling the Lord, excuse me, I didn't mean to say that. Start correcting yourself. If you start correcting yourself, He won't have to correct you. But He cleanses us from all sin. And see, that word there in Greek is hamartia, a sin, one little sin. See, you set the goal, don't do one little sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, hamartia, a sin, one single sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, hamartia, a sin, if you confess every time you sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, hamartia, a sin, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, different word, hamartano, to miss the mark and not share in the prize. It's a Greek word that was commonly used to describe shooting a bow and arrow. You aim for the bullseye, but you miss. You hit down here somewhere on the target. You're aiming not to sin at all today, and you're going for no sin at all today, but you miss the mark, you just come up a little short. That's when the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Continuous action verb. If we say that we have not sinned, miss the mark, if you're holier now and think that there's no sin in you at all, so as to not share in the prize, we make Him a liar, and His word's not in us. The Bible says that every one of you are sinners. You know, when I first came here years ago, 25 years ago, we had a couple here. One guy was a deacon. He hated me, And I smoked, but I didn't smoke here at the church. I smoked at home, but you could smell it on me 25 years ago. And I didn't smoke in front of Christians. And his wife went and bought the name www.mainstreetchurchofchrist.com. And so they tried to take over the place and have that name for a website. And so he got mad and resigned and left. And my wife and I was downtown eating at El Phoenix one day. And there him and his wife were sitting over in a booth. And he had a big can of Budweiser beer sitting in front of him. And she had a hurricane. Now, a hurricane is a shot of gin, a shot of vodka, and a shot of vermouth, and a shot of rum, and a shot of whiskey, and a shot of everything, and pineapple juice, and orange juice, real sweet drink, plumb full of liquor. And so I just happened to have a bulletin in my pocket. And I got up and walked over across the restaurant, and they seen me coming, and they, I bet you if they could have, they'd have put them drinks in their pocket, you know? And I walked up the table and I said, I see you guys have gone back to smoking your own cell. And they just sit there with their mouth open. I said, you know, that's just as bad as smoking what you're doing there. Just as bad as smoking. And I showed them a bulletin. And I said, see the bulletin? We got over 1 million hits on our website last year. And they sit there with their mouth open. Now, they tried to sell us that name, Main Street ChurchofChrist.com for $10,000. They tried to extort us to get $10,000 out of us for that name. And I just put a dash in between it. You can see it on all our cards and everything. It's Main Street dash ChurchofChrist.com. Well, I'm happy to report to you we got 4 million hits on the website last year, and them people still wish they could have put that drink in their pocket, I'm telling you. If we say that we have not sinned, if we're holier than thou, miss the mark, so as not sharing the price, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not him or Tama to miss the mark. He doesn't want you to miss the mark at all. He's written this book hoping that you won't sin at all and miss the mark at all, that you sin not. And if any man sin, ham or tama, miss the mark, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation, hamartia, of all of our sins, a sin. And so you set the goal not to sin at all, but if you goof and confess it, he is a propitiation of all our sins. Not ours only, but the sins of the whole world. Brethren, the blood of Christ was so powerful that it could save every human being on the face of the earth if they would only come to him in the appointed way and have faith and live a faithful life and come to Christ in the appointed way. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful, it could wash the whole earth clean. Just think of the concept. If his blood is that powerful that it could cleanse every sinner, his death was that powerful. How much more powerful is a risen Savior seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us to God? We have a powerful God. We have a God that can do anything with nothing and a nobody. We really do. It is the faith of Christ that leads to faithfulness, a faithful life, and obedience to God and His Word that saves us. I'm not any more saved today than I was back then when I smoked. I hadn't smoked in 10 years, 15. I'm not any more saved. God just had to beat me and get me through that stuff. And if you'll keep trying and keep confessing your sins and keep trying to live a faithful life every day, God will help you and he'll help get you through it. We'll turn now to the book of Galatians. We'd encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there and all kinds of written lessons. We encourage you to have a church in your own home. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? Christ and Him crucified was the burden of Paul's preaching in everything that he preached. Drop down to verse 16 now. Well, let's look at verse 10 first. For as many that as are of the works of the law, speaking to Jews, and those Gentiles who start monkeying around with trying to obey the Sabbath and trying to obey Jewish festivals and all that stuff, trying to bring Judaism into the church, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. If you seek to be justified by obeying the Old Testament law, you're going to have to perfectly do it, something that no human being on earth has ever done except Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a perfect sacrifice, the innocent victim that was sacrificed for my sins and your sins and the sins of the world, everybody that'll have it. And so, don't be mucking around with the Old Testament and trying to bring it into the New Testament. Let's drop down to verse 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so when you come to Christ in the appointed way and you have faith and you repent of your sins and you confess Christ as Lord and you're baptized into Christ, then you're promised that gift of the Holy Spirit. God's covenant with Abraham was founded not upon his keeping of the law, but upon a promise made 430 years before the law was given. Look at Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed, child, were the promises made. That's what God said, Genesis 12:1. And he, God, saith not to seeds, children, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, that covenant that was given to Abraham in Genesis 12, and God confirmed it in Genesis 15 when Abraham made the sacrifice and God alone walked through the middle of the sacrifice. Abraham didn't do it. The reason Abraham didn't do it is because he couldn't keep the covenant. God alone kept the covenant. God walked between the sacrifices. That's what that burning torch and that went between the sacrifices in Genesis 15. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, that when God did that in Genesis 15, the law which was 430 years after, that's at Mount Sinai in 1447 B.C., cannot disannul it to make the promise of no effect. Brethren, the new covenant is this covenant of promise where God promised Abraham that a Messiah was going to come through him. The Christ was going to be born through him. And through his seed would all nations of the earth be blessed. Gentiles, even us, are saved. Drop down with me now to 22. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin. Everybody. That the promise of faith of Jesus Christ, not the promise of the faith of Kelly Lawson, but the faith of Jesus Christ. That term, objective faith, is used 7 times in the Greek New Testament. Might be given to them that believe. The faith that saves is never that of the sinner, but the faith of Christ. Only his faith was perfect, and the perfectly obedient faith. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith. New Testament Christianity is what the faith means, not our faith, but New Testament Christianity. Shut up until the New Testament comes, in other words, which afterwards should be revealed. The figure of speech here is like a jailer keeping a prisoner shut up in jail. The law could not save people. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Schoolmaster, paedagos, a boy leader or slave, a servant whose job was to take the children to school and home from school. This word here, the paedagos, taught them nothing. The law taught us nothing. It simply escorted us to Christ, is all it did. Verse 25. Now the Greek will bear out the word tutor, but the law's job was to escort us, to take us, to shepherd us along until Christ would come. And so everybody's saved the same way. All those before the cross were saved looking forward in faith to the cross. All of those that are saved after the cross are saved by looking back in faith to the cross. There's only one way of salvation, and that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 25, but after the faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. Total of separation of Christianity from the law is here dramatically used in this word, paedagos, is no longer needed. You don't need the law anymore. Verse 26, for you're all the children of God by, and it's not in the translation that you have, but it's the faith, Greek tis pistis. It's not my faith, it is New Testament Christianity. You're all saved by New Testament Christianity. It's already been noted that this section using faith is in talking about historical Christianity. McKnight translated this verse correctly when he says, for you're all the sons of God through the faith published by Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For it, and something else the theologian Cole said, it's long been apparent that it's not the knowledge of Greek, but that of grammar that leads to an accurate understanding of the New Testament. If you just read these things, you'll understand them. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Here is used in exactly the same manner that faith was used in the preceding verse. It is a synecdoche. It is a part that represents the whole, and it's talking about becoming a Christian. By the use of it, Paul testifies to the importance of it. It's a violation of the rules of grammar to use such a synecdoche in any unvital or unnecessary part to stand for the whole. A synecdoche is like when I say, hey, I like your wheels, man. Well, I mean I like your car. And I'm saying, I'm just working to get a roof over my head. Well, I'm not just working to get a roof over my head. I want walls, too. I want a bathroom. I want a bedroom. I'm working to get a house. It's a figure of speech in which the part is used to represent the whole. And so there is no difference here between faith and baptism. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ is only another way of saying that all the Galatians had been so baptized. Verse 28, for there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, but you're all one in Christ Jesus. Christ is a great equalizer. Verse 29, and if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? Well, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, in Christ, shall all families of the earth be blessed. If you're here this morning, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can march right down to the front here and repent of your sins. Be sorry for your sins. Pour your heart out before God. Put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. Be baptized into Christ and have all your sins washed away. If you're here this morning, you're ready to become a Christian, you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now before it's everlasting too late? Shonda, stand up. I've been working on you for quite a while, hasn't I?
Yes, sir.
How long?
It's been about 3 months.
About 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you're ready to become a Christian this morning.
Dedicated.
You believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
Now ready to confess Christ as Lord. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You repent of your sins. You're sorry for sin, and you're going to do your best to walk a Christian life.
Amen.
Amen. If you go in right over here, sister, we're going to baptize you right away.
Okay, Shonda, it is my great honor, based on your confession, to now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins, in order that you might receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This worldwide Christian broadcast is brought to you by www.churchofchristpreaching.com with the evangelist under the oversight of the Abel Springs Church of Christ, County Road 338, Abel Springs, Texas 75161, USA, the little church in the country. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to this community, then to all the world and helping the poor. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, just plain old Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station, by our website at www.churchcraftpreaching.com. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ in your community and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchcraftpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ our Lord. At home, you can sing praises to God, listen to us for preaching and teaching, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessing for the poor in the local community anywhere in the world. Come to www.churchcraftpreaching.com for free downloads of acapella singing, links, and hundreds of videos on our YouTube channel. Thousands of audio sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons, and thousands of links for your church library. Please let a friend know about our broadcast time and website. That is www.churchcraftpreaching.com. We preach the gospel to all the world every day and warn everyone, as Paul says, in the last days, perilous times are coming. You don't have to be a doomsayer to realize that only the mercy and long-suffering of God is delaying what Peter warned us of. That the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 13. Jesus says at the sight of the Roman armies that common sense should have told the Jews in his day of the coming destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in Luke 22. Paul encourages us, but ye brethren, Christians, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Just look at the sign of the times or everywhere. Russia threatening nuclear war against NATO over Ukraine, China hogging Taiwan with North Korea, their nuclear bulldog, Iran versus Israel, who has an army of terrorists attacking them on every border. Google says that Israel has 80 to 400 atomic warheads. And like a rat backed in the corner, those Jews are not going to walk in the gas chamber again. They'll use it. But worst of all, because of our sins, we're under the judgment of God and have lost God as our nation's protector. The psalmist said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord's. Psalms 32, 12. America can no longer say that we are a God-fearing nation. We at www.churchofcraftpreaching.com ask you to join us in crying for the sins of America and the ungodly world that we live in. The good news is that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection has already won the victory. So hold on to his promise that I'm with you always, even down the road. No matter how bad the world gets, remember Daniel was delivered in the lion's den and not from the lion's den. Eusebius tells us that not one Jewish Christian was lost in the destruction of Jerusalem. Even though America is under the judgment of God, his promise for Christians is still true. I will never leave thee or forsake thee, Hebrews 13:5. Join us at www.churchcraftpreaching.com. We are a God and listener supported. Make your checks payable to the radio station direct, WWCR, and go to our website for mailing instructions. That is www.churchcraftpreaching.com.